Well, today we're wrapping up the Christmas in Narnia series with Edmund. This is the brother that falls into the most obvious temptation. He is the lost sheep, the prodigal son. Think back to the Turkish delights. Did you try some? Do you remember what they tasted like? Lots of rose with some sugar and some water, and the one I had was a little bit slimy. I don't know about y'all. I think it had been sitting out from first service and got a little bit slimy. But for them, for Edmund, it was the highest delicacy he could possibly have, the best thing ever. And he gorged himself on them as he shoveled them in his mouth as fast and quickly as his hands would allow. Edmund's temptation was to be the king. No more younger brother. So he sold out his family, his new friends, and everyone in his path to be the witch's heir to her throne. He experiences the consequences for his actions as he watches the true nature of the witch freezing innocent animals in the forest. This sin causes a huge break and rift in his relationships with his family and Aslan. As we think about the story of Edmund, it is our story as well at times. There are times when we are struggling against temptation and sin, and we even fall face first into it. It may not be the challenges of Turkish delights, but it could be addiction to alcohol, food, drugs, sex. It could be the fall into being power hungry or greed, not caring about the road that leads to the top, simply caring about getting up to the top. It could be the anger that comes out in short or maybe long outbursts, whether it's on the road, at Walmart, or to the faces of the people who love and care about you the most. This is exactly why I believe C.S. Lewis created Aslan as a lion. It's because Edmund and many others had to meet the business end of Aslan. Edmund has to face the claws, the teeth, and especially the roar, right? It wouldn't be anyone's first choice to face right into the mouth of a hungry or angry lion. However, that's what it takes. Edmund has to give up some flesh. In order to have the chance to be restored, he has to face the scary side of Aslan. The process for restoration for us can be similar. It hurts. We have to face the business end of the lion. We have to give up some flesh, get some wounds and scars. We have to kneel before the King of Kings to admit our brokenness and our sin. Turning to the gospel lesson today, we find Simeon, a man who has been waiting his entire life for God to fulfill a promise. A promise that he will get to see the Christ, the Messiah, before God called him home. After Simeon encounters Jesus, the Christ, he speaks, or maybe even sings, a marvelous song of praise about God for the blessings that he was able to experience. Salvation comes into the world, and it's for all people. Simeon knew that Jesus would be the one to make things right with God again. It's not just a Jewish thing. It's open for everyone, just as the message says. Paul encourages us in Romans to clothe ourselves with Christ. What a beautiful image to clothe ourselves with Christ. You see, sin also clothes us, but with wounds, with scars, and with shame. Taking off those clothes is not easy or comfortable. However, Christ offers to put us in the finest of robes, the finest clothes, to make sure that we are dressed appropriately as a son, as a daughter of the King of the universe. Simeon is waiting for his robes. He's been waiting all of his life. The clothes don't make the man, but they do symbolize that God's kingdom has come and we are forgiven and restored. We are kings and queens of Narnia. As we think back to Edmund, his conversation with Aslan reveals that very forgiveness and salvation. He is even restored to his brother and sisters. Without deserving it, he is once again a king of Narnia, only by the grace of Aslan. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is that of the prodigal son. It gives us the ability to find ourselves in the midst of the story. Edmund is the prodigal, filling himself with all those Turkish delights. Oh my goodness, living the high life. Only to realize it wasn't life at all. And he had become a servant and a slave by the end. Yet as he comes back, we find the older brother in Peter. And the question comes into my mind. Is God big enough to forgive me? To forgive you? I don't know if you've ever been in that thought pattern. And maybe you might be today. But it's the quintessential question of the prodigal son on his trip home. It's the question on Edmund's mind as he leaves the witch and rejoins Aslan and his family. The good news, just like the prodigal gets his nice new robe from his father, Edmund suddenly gets his kingly robe from Aslan. There's no more prison clothes. He is dressed like a king before he ever deserves it. The good news for you today is that Aslan and the Father give us a very clear answer. Nothing is too big for God to handle. Now, it doesn't mean that you may not have some scars and some scratches. You may not have some consequences in life moving forward. But God wants to give you love. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you restoration. He gives you the robe that tells you who you really are. Another question comes into my mind on its heels. Will the community accept us back? Will the older brother accept the prodigal? Will Peter, Susan, and Lucy accept Edmund back into their community? Will your community accept you back after you've come to God on your knees, after you've confessed and repented? Will you be restored? I believe this is where one of Aslan's most powerful quotes shows how this should work. He says, "What's done is done. There is no need to speak to Edmund about what is past." It's one of my favorite quotes from this part of the series. When we look at the father and the prodigal son story, he's immediately racing back to his son and throwing a party to celebrate. So the answer is the community is to accept people back, even people who have caused hurt and pain within. So my next thought is, how are we doing as a community in accepting people back? How are we doing here at Peace? How are you doing in your homes, your businesses, your communities. In Edmund's case, he truly is a changed person after his encounter with Aslan. We are Christians, and so we are called to do things and to treat people the Christ-like way. The key to Narnia is Peter. Unlike the older brother in the parable, Peter repents that he has been hard on Edmund, and his efforts didn't heal him. Instead, they pushed him away. Who in your life needs you to help restore them? We need to have those times where we follow Aslan's wisdom, and there isn't a need to speak about the past. Now, they still have the scars of mistakes, but what they really need is you. Simeon waited all of his life for God to do his thing, to fulfill the promise. Now that he has seen Jesus, will he be ready for all people to come in? This is a gospel for all people. As you look forward to 2019, a new year, may our resolution be that the grace of God comes to us in Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life on the cross, the one who rose again from the dead from the tomb. And may that grace abound from us for the salvation of all people. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the powerful and abundant grace that you give to us. Lord, we thank you for the grace that you showed to Edmund in the Chronicles of Narnia, restoring him back. Lord, we ask you to forgive all of our sins. Lord, and to help us to be restored. Lord, to help us to be agents of restoration, healing, and forgiveness for those in our lives that need it. Lord, in your mercy, amen.